Today we're going to learn Kritu Daf Kaf Aleph. We finished yesterday we're in the middle of a Braita. We were learning which damim are forbidden with Isur Karet and which damim are not, what's included in the Pasuk, what's not. What we didn't discuss yesterday, which we're going to get to today, which is all the damim that are excluded, what's their status? Okay, are they forbidden, just not Karet? Or are they permitted? Okay, what kind of blood is permitted to eat? What kind of blood isn't? We'll get to that only at the end of today's daf. We're going to see that there's a range. Okay, so we have all these exceptions. All of these are out, right? They're not usur karet from the pasuk. But there's going to be a range of what the status of them is. Okay, the possibilities are isur lav, it's just a lo taseh. You just don't get karet, you get malkot. Or it's a low tasse, but it's forbidden, but you don't get punished for it. Okay, which maybe it's not forbidden, maybe d'oraita, maybe d'rabbanan, or it's just forbidden d'oraita without a punishment, or it's entirely permitted. So we're going to see a range of possibilities depending on, there's different categories among all of these. So while right now they're kind of all in the same category, we're going to see later they're not really all in the same category. Okay, so let's go now, start on the third line of Kaf Aleph, Amud Aleph. La'of bilabema. So we're in the middle of the braita where they're darshaning all the different bloods. So why does it say, "Echodam lo tochlu b'chomos shvotechem"? Right, don't eat any blood in all the places you live. La'of bilabema, for birds and for animals. So why didn't it just say for birds or just for animals? Ima of she'em ba'kilaim, af be'ema she'em ba'kilaim. You would have said when it comes to of, you might have said if it just said of birds. Well, birds don't have an issue of kilayim. We're going to have to see. Okay, there's different categories of kilayim. We'll get to it later in the Gemara, which type of kilayim we're talking about. So you might have thought only animals that don't have kilayim are going to be included. And maybe animals that do have kilayim won't be included. Talmud lamar vila behema. It's a bit of a strange hava. I mean, why all of a sudden you would think that would be the issue. But they tried to think about some issue that might be the same about some animals that would be similar to birds, and if they don't have kilayim, as opposed to other animals. Maybe I'll already tell you, just so you can visualize what we're talking about here. The issue is going to be that you might have thought that birds, there's no kilayim, meaning, what's kilayim? Wool and linen. Where does wool come from? Sheep. So you might have thought maybe sheep are not part of this, because sheep have kilayim, right? The issue of kilayim comes up by sheep, where it doesn't come up by birds, and it doesn't come up by other animals, really. So, therefore, they're going to say, you might have thought that this excludes sheep and animals that have wool. But comes to teach you, that's why it needs la behema, to teach you no. Ima behema she'ena ba'ava labanim. If it was behema, what might you say? Well, behema, there's no isra of ava labanim, right? That you can't take the animals while the mother bird is there. Af she'eno ba'ema labanim. So you might have thought, maybe also, it's only, if it just said behema, you would have thought, birds that are like behemoth, that there's no isser of emal abanim, which would be non-kosher birds, there's no issue of emal abanim. It's only by kosher birds. So you might have thought, maybe the isser of dam only applies to non-kosher birds and not to kosher birds. Talmud lamar, that's why you need to say la'of vila be'ema, to include them both. Ve'ema, why don't you say like this? Kol dam, look at the pasuk. It starts off with kol dam, and then it goes to ofen behema. What do we call that? Klal uprat. You start with a generalization, then you have specifics. So you might have thought klal, kol dam klal, ofu behema prat. So klal uprat, what's the rule about a klal uprat? Ein baklal ela masha baprat. What does that mean? It's only what it says. If it says kol dam, all blood you can't eat for of and behema, that means it's only going to be ofu behema. Now, what did our Mishnah say, or the Braita said? Then how do we darshan it? It's anything that has the following things. Yesh bam tumah kala v'tumah chamura. Yesh bam yisur v'ater, hemim basar. So it's anything that's like behemot and ofot in this way. But why? If you have a klal uprat, it should be only birds and animals and not other things that are similar. So what are the answer? So you would have said, mash b'prat ofo behema imid yachrini lo. But the next pasuk says, kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam. Now notice what happens. We now have a klal, a prat, and then a klal. Now when you have a klal, a prat, a klal, it's different. Chazar v'kalal, so it goes and has another generalization in that pasuk. Klal, a prat, a klal, yatadan ela ke'ein haprat. What do we say in a klal, a prat, a klal? It's not only the pratim. because there's another generalization, it's to tell you whatever's similar to those pratim is also going to be included, and that's exactly the drasha that we had. So now that fits very nicely. The problem with that is there's a bit of a problem with this kala pratu kla. Why? The second pasuk is not similar to the first pasuk. In order for you to have klala prata klal, both klalim have to be similar. Similar in what way? Well, let's see. Klala kama, lav. Klala batra, karet. In the first pasuk, it just says, v'chol dam lo tochlu. It's just a lo tase. In the second pasuk, it says, kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-yimei ameha. Karet. So one is just a lo tase, and one is karet. You can't put... you can't say this is the same generalization when one addresses kari and one addresses the lotase. So you can't do a kala pratu kla like that. So now we're stuck again with our question. Hi tana de be Rabbi Yishmael. It should have different words here. The klale prate darshinan kahadin gavna. Bahadin gavna. Okay, they learn it. In the house of Rabbi Yishmael, they learn klal uprat in this way. In other words, they didn't care. We've seen this before. In the house of Rabbi Yishmael, it didn't bother them if the first klal was different from the second klal. They darshan it all the same. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. So then we don't have a problem. Va'afagav de lo dame klal abatra leklal akama. They're going to darshan it in any case. Amar mar. So now let's go back to this klal uprat to klal. Klal uprat uklal iya tadan elakena prat. Ma prat mefurash davar sheyesh bo tuma kala v'tuma chamura, v'yesh ba yisur v'heter, v'yesh ba yimim basar, av kol davar sheyesh bo tuma kala v'tuma chamura, v'chule. So now they want to darshan av kol de katane. Why does it say at the end, av kol davar sheyesh bo tuma kala v'tuma chamura? They seem to be saying that even without that issue of tuma kala and tuma chamura, you could have already learned all our exceptions. It doesn't necessarily add much, or maybe the wording they're concerned about, why it says af kol. So what's this af kol de katani la tuyema? It must be coming to include something additional. What's it coming to include? Amar Rav Adbar Avin la tuye damo shel koi. Oh, we get back to koi. Okay, why is koi always so interesting? Because koi is an animal. Some people say it's, a water buffalo. It's not exactly clear what a koi. There's a few things that aren't clear about koi. Number one, what it is. Okay, what actual animal it is. That was clear to the Gemara. Okay, just we don't know exactly what animal they're referring to. But whatever animal it is, it's an animal that there's a suffix, whether it's a behema or whether it's a chaya. And if they don't know which category to put it into, it's a suffix, although we'll see in a minute that exactly what kind of suffix it is, we'll have to see. But koi is sort of, right, the question is it suffix or is it neither behema nor chaya? It's in its own category entirely. Okay, we'll see in a minute which one we're going to say it is for there's a machloket in general about it. But what are they going to say here? So it's to teach you that also the blood of a koi is forbidden. That's why it adds an additional one that didn't really need to be there. So now they say, Maika Savar, wait, but if you're going to say that it's coming to include the dam of koi, what exactly were they thinking here? What's their way of viewing koi? So that, like I said, there's two ways. Either you say koi is safek behema safek chaya, or you say koi is a bria b'fnei atzma. It's its own unique entity. It's neither a behema nor a chaya. So, ikasavar koi sveikahu, itzrich krala mesar sveika? Do you need it doesn't make any sense that a pasuk would come to resolve a problem of a suffix. Okay, so this is a bit of a, we've had this term before. Why is it that you wouldn't need a pasuk to teach you a suffix situation? Okay, we actually saw it worded in different places. Ein sveika klapei shmaya. In other words, the Torah was written by God. Well, God doesn't have any sveikot about anything. So why would a word be included in the Torah to include a suffix situation? Now, first of all, so there's two ways of understanding, or maybe multiple ways. One option is to say there's two types of sveikot. Now, it could be the Torah is coming to teach you about a suffix situation. It's just that the suffix of koi is different than a regular suffix. A suffix, did I eat shuman, did I eat chelev? That's a suffix in, you know, what happened. That's a changing suffix. You know, it depends on what happened. And this is a suffix that exists. It's a constant. It's always. It's a permanent suffix. You might say the Torah's not coming to deal with that kind of a thing. Okay? The Torah wouldn't... It's a permanent suffix. There's no suffix in the... God knows what it is. It's just we don't know. So that you wouldn't have a pasuk to include that. Also, the problem with saying that you have a pasuk to include a sefek, well, if it's a sefek, well, then it obviously should be, we always go, the other issue is that we have rules about what to do in Torah law when there's a sefek. Sefek d'oraita l'chumra. We're always machmir. So you don't need a pasuk to tell you you have to forbid the dam. It's obvious you forbid the dam. If it's either a be'emar or a chayah, well, we're going to say it doesn't matter no matter what. We're going to say, misafek, we're going to forbid it. First of all, anyway, the dam of a chayah is forbidden anyway. So for sure it would be forbidden. So it doesn't make any sense to say that koi would need a special limud to include it. It would be obviously asr. So what's the answer? Ela kasavar koi bria b'fnatz mahu. So then you'd have to say koi is neither behema nor chayah. It sounds kind of like our tumtum and androgynous, right? It's neither, and because it's neither, so then we have to figure out, well, is it aser or not, since it's its own unique entity, and then you need a special thing to tell us it's aser. Now, if we already say koi is a b'riyah b'fnei atzmo, well, then we're going to have an issue about all sorts of halachot about koi. So they're now going to go through a list. How do you know that the following halachot of behemot and chayot apply, or some just behemot, apply to koi? So eshkachan damo, so now we understand, okay, dam is aser because of this. Chelbo minalam, what about its chelev? So mikol chelev, it says, okay? It says in the pasuk, it's actually kol chelev, right? It's not mikol. It's from the words kol chelev. It says, kol chelev shor v'kesev e'ez lo tochelu. Kol, again, comes to include koi. Nivlato minalan. How do we know about the nevela that it's mitame tumat nevela of a koi? Mikol, also it says there, lo tochlu kol nevela. Okay, so there you see, kol nevela again includes the koi. Gira nashe minalan, how do we know that the gira nashe is forbidden on a koi? Bekapa yerech tal yerechmana, the pasuk says, alken lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael gira nashe, al shera kapa yerech. What's kapa yerech? There was this little rounded part at the very top of the thigh, which was kind of looked a little like a spoon, so they call it the kapa yerech. That appears on a koi, as in other animals. It doesn't appear, for example, in a bird. Okay? So it's coming to tell you that would include the gira nashe as asur in a koi. The ha'itle kafayerech, right? And this has a kafayerech. Tumato ushchita minalan. How do we know that it's mitame and that shchita, that it needs shchita? How do we learn those? So they say, now we get to svara. It's just logical to say that. Why is it logical? Midilachomile rabbi rachmana kebehema tumato ushchita tonami kebehema. Since we already included everything else and all the other ways we said it's like a behema, so at this point, fine, we don't have a special drasha, but we're just going to assume it's like a behema for all these things also. Yeah.
But you can eat the
chelev
of a
chaya, not of a behema.
Right. So right. It's not really called chelev. Do you understand? Like, because
no.
This is a...
No, it says kol chelev kesha shor v'kesev ve'ez. But why did it say kol? It comes to include the koi, who's a suffix behema. Well, again, according to this, it's not because it's a suffix behema, right? It's coming to include behema and also koi. Not chaya, but yes, behema. Okay?
But if a koi is a chaya, then technically you could eat the chaylev.
Right. So again, this is viewing, again, you have to assume that the Gemara that we're learning right now is all viewing koi as a b'riyah b'fnei atzma. If it was sefek, it would be aser because it's sefek, the tzad that's a behema, you know, the possibility that it's a behema would make it forbidden. We always go l'chumra. But here we'd have to assume it's not a behema and it's not a chaya. So what's the koi coming to include? It's not coming to include a chaya. It must be coming to include the koi. Okay. So now we're going to go back to another thing that we mentioned in this braita. We're going to spend a lot of today just going through parts of this braita. Amar mar. Otzi dam mahalchei shtayim. We're going to take out of the category of what's forbidden, the dam of mahalchei shtayim, of humans, right? They walk on two legs. I don't know why it specifically chooses the lashon here of mahalchei shtayim. Sheyesh behem tumah chamura ve'ein behem tumah kala. Remember we said human, right? Human has tumah chamura, but it doesn't have tumah kala, meaning, right, flesh of humans is not food. Okay, well, we're going to have to actually debate that issue. Not so clear. So, now we're going to see that. Urimini, hachotech min ha'adam, tzarich machshava v'hechsher. Okay, it says in a Mishnah, Uktzin, if you cut off flesh from, or you cut off something, we don't know what it is yet, you cut off, let's just assume, you cut off some meat from a human body, it needs machshava and hechsher. What does that mean? In order to become tamei tumat ochlin, you have to have intent that you want to eat it, which then turns it into food. That's still not enough to be mekabel tumah. Then it needs hechsher. It needs a liquid to come upon it. We learned that in order for something to become tamei when it's a food, it needs water to come on it, because water was, in a sense, the way food was prepared. Like, it needed, first it got water, then it became actually food. So because of that, it needs both. Okay, so now, before we even get to the contradiction, which we can kind of see, because it seems to say, right, what's tumah kala? Tumah kala is synonymous with tumat ochlin. Okay, why is it called tumah kala? Right, because tumat ochlin, there's all sorts of ways it's more kal from tumah chamor. Tumah chamor of a mate, let's say, or of an avela, those are avatumas, right? They're going to be metame, people and food and all sorts of things, whereas food can only be metame, right? It can only be metame other foods, depending if it's a rishon, it can be metame other foods. If it's a sheni, it can only be metame truma and kudshim. Okay? So it's much, much lighter. Uriminhi. So now it says the source, min anam tzirich machshava ve'echsher, bikashilan. And then a question was asked on the Mishnah as follows. Machshava lamali. Why do you need machshava? Te'aseh chatichat shalom machshava. If he's cutting it, obviously, what's his intent? To use it for food. So wouldn't cutting be sufficient to show you really mean to eat this? V'amarish lakish, b'chotcho lekelev. U'machshava lekelev, lav machshavihi. Why are you cutting the human flesh? You want to feed it to your dog. Feeding to your dog is not enough to have something become, it's not enough to take human flesh and turn it into tumat ochlin. Feeding it to a dog is not sufficient, okay? That doesn't really make it ochel. So now the Gemara asks, v'lo, is that really not true? V'hatnan, there's another Mishnah that contradicts. Mishnah in Tarot says, klal amru b'taharot, it says b'tumah, it should say b'taharot, kol hamiyuchad echol adam, tamei ad shipasel me'achilat kelev. Anything that's tamei for food for a human being can be tamei tumat ochlin as long as what happens to food over time, it gets disgusting, right? If you leave food for a really long time, it'll turn disgusting. At a certain point, you'll still be able to feed it to your dog. At a certain point, you won't even be able to feed it to your dog. At that point, right, ad shipasel me'achila kelef, until it's not even worth, right, you won't even feed it to your dog, then already it's not tamei tumat ochlin. So that seems to contradict. Because this source, we said a minute ago, Tumah Kelev isn't Machshava. That's the way Rish Lakish understood it. And this Mishnah says Tumah Kelev would still keep the item Tameh. So what's the obvious difference between them? Hahula asuke Tumah Mineh. Tekeven demi ikara v'chazi la'adam la'asuke mitumah ad shipasel me'achila kelev. The last source we brought in Tarot, the Mishnah there, is to remove Tumah from something that already had Tumah. So if this food had tumah on it already, in order to remove it from being considered och, not that it had tumah, it had the potential for tumah, it was food. If this was food, in order to take something out of the status of food, it has to go below achila kelef. But ha-cha, but in the Mishnah, that we just quoted in Uktzin, la'achute le'tumah, we're cutting this flesh of a human, which wasn't able to become tameh, and then we cut it for a dog, that's not enough to bring the possibility of tumah onto it. To call something food in the first place, that's not sufficient. And therefore, yichazi la'adam, chazi, right, the nusach is off here, it should say, yichazi la'adam, you know, then it's mekabel tumah, and if ilo, chazi la'adam, then it's not, okay? And therefore, chazi lekelev wouldn't be enough. Okay, mikol makom katane, okay, now going back though, now we get to our big issue. What did it say there? So we understand that this means you're cutting it for your dog. It's not going to be considered ochel until such point that you decide you want to eat it yourself, right? You're feeding the dog the food. It looks really good. I don't know why you'd eat human flesh, but you get tempted. You want to eat it. You say, oh, I'm going to eat this. Okay? At that point, it can be makabel tumah, but only it needs, right? Both your machshava can do it, and then it needs hechsher. So mikol makom katani machshava. Machshava l'tuma kalahi, right? Now we get back to our big question, which is, machshava is to consider something mitami tumat ochlin. What does that show? That human
could be tamei tuma kala, right? This seems to indicate there is tuma kala by humans. So how do you resolve that? So what's going to be the resolution? They're going to say, hane mile mechayim, aval achar mita tamehu tuma chamura. So they say, what's the answer? Notice what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah was talking about you took a chotech min achai. You took it from a live person. From a live person, there is tuma kala by adam. So if you cut off flesh from a human being, that could be considered food in the event that somebody decides to eat it. But once the person's dead, then it only has tuma chamura. Why? Well, it's very logical. Once it's tamei tuma mei, that's the highest form of tuma. Well, you're not going to say, oh, this is tamei tuma ochlin, right? Why would you say that? It's already way higher on the tuma scale, right? It's got much more severe tuma. Okay, that sounds like a good answer. But that whole answer is going to raise a whole big question by behema. What do we say? Behema is both tum'ah chamura and tum'ah kala. Right? That means it's tamei tuma chamura, which is nevela, and it's tamei tuma kala, which is ochlin. But again, we're going to have the same problem then. If it's tamei tuma nevela, how can it be tamei tuma ochlin? Tuma nevela is avatuma. Tuma ochlin is a rishon or a sheni. Much lower down. So it doesn't make any sense. So now they're going to say, de kavate gabe behema la'achar mita. In other words, the assumption is if we're comparing this has tuma chamura and tuma kala, and this only has tuma chamura. So we're obviously comparing them in the same plane. Obviously, if this is la'achar mita, then that's also la'achar mita. So the behema must be only after its death. Okay, that we're saying. So now, the behema after its death, what are we talking about here? That it has both tuma kala and tuma chamura. Ibasar, if we're talking about the flesh of the behema, mitame tuma chamura, it's tuma nevela. The flesh of the animal is tuma nevela. Idam, maybe we're talking about the blood. No, that's also mitame tuma chamura, ditnan, dam nevelot, there's a mission in Eduyot, beit shama mitaharim, beit hila mitamim. Beit hila says the dam nevelot is mitame tuma nevela. So both the dam and the flesh have tuma chamura, which means there's no tuma kala. So how did the Braita say that they have also tuma kala? So we're going to have two different answers, okay? We're starting with the first. Lo nitzracha ela lechiditnan. It's needed for a particular case, like the way they explain the following Mishnah. They're going to take a Mishnah, they're going to explain the Mishnah doesn't make sense. They explain that the Mishnah must be talking about this particular case. They're going to say that must be the same thing we could say about ours. Okay? How so? What happens? Nevela behema tamea. We're now going to make distinctions about what things people generally eat and what things they don't eat, right? So flesh of humans, we already said people don't generally eat. That's why it's not mitame tuma ochel. What about the nevela of a behemat mea? Okay, like a horse. Most people don't eat the meat of a horse or a donkey. Right? It's not the most commonly eaten meat. So nevela of a behemat mea, bechol makom, anywhere you sell it, or nevela of an och tahor, a kosher bird that dies on its own. We're going to see it was only eaten in certain places, bakfarim. It was more commonly eaten, okay, in the kfar, people generally didn't eat it. Why didn't people eat it in the kfar and they did eat it in the city? A bunch of different explanations are given. Some people say it has to do with the poverty level of the people in the kfarim and the wealthier people, right? It's interesting, nowadays people who are poor generally would eat chicken over meat. There it seems it was the opposite. They wouldn't really eat chicken. But a better explanation, I think, is that in the kfar, there weren't as many people and they had more livestock. So there was no need for them to eat birds. Whereas in the shuk, where there were a lot of people buying stuff, and not everybody had herds of animals and needed to buy, there was less meat to be bought, and therefore people would buy birds more often. Okay? That's maybe a better explanation. To me, it makes more sense. I don't know. Okay, so these two, right, the nevela of a behemat tmea, the chol makom, which generally wasn't eaten, and the nevela of tahor in the kfar, which generally wasn't eaten in the kfar, tzarich machshava. Okay, in order for it to become possible to get tum'ah, it needs someone to have said, I plan to eat this. Without that, it's not considered food, basically, because nobody really eats it. Ve'ein tzarich hechsher, but it doesn't need hechsher lekabel tum'ah. And we're going to have to leave that aside. We'll come back to it later, why it doesn't need hechsher. The main thing for us now is, it's not necessarily considered food until somebody thinks about, until somebody thinks about causing it to be food, then it would be potentially tamei. Nivelat behema tahora b'chol makom. Okay, but the carcass of a kosher bird, anywhere, because people actually eat that, and nivelat of tahor b'chelev
Bashvakim, in the shuk, people ate the nevela v'nof tahor and they ate chelev. Ein tzrichim lo machshava v'lo hechsher. It doesn't need machshava. It's already considered food. You don't have to think, oh, I'm going to eat this, for to have it be in time tumat ochlin. And it doesn't need hechsher. So, amar le rav le rabbi chia. Machshava lamali. Why do we even need machshava here at all? Letumakala. In other words, machshava is for tumat ochlin. It's the exact same question as by us. If it's already mitame, tumat nevela, right? He gufa tumahi. What are we talking about? We're talking about nevelot here. They have tumat nevela on them. If they already have tumah chamura of nevela, why are we even discussing tumah kala of ochlin? So the answer now that they're going to give would be the same answer to answer our question, because it's the same thing. How can you even talk about tumah kala when you have this tumah nevela on it, which is a much more severe tumah? So amalei kigon deika pachot mikazayit nevela vitzirfa lepachot mikabetza ochlin. Okay, what are these shirim? So you have, in order for something to be betami tumah nevela, you need a kazayit. Let's say you had a piece of this nevela which was less than a kezayit. In which case, it doesn't have tuma nevela on it, but theoretically, if you added other stuff to it, now in order for something to be tuma tumat ochlin, you need a kebetza, okay? So if you added to this less than kezayit, right, and then you added a whole bunch more, and you got to the share of other stuff, it doesn't matter what, any other food, and you have this pile of food now that's including this piece of nevela of an animal, which isn't tuma nevela, and other food, and you get to a shear of a kibetza, that could all become tameh. Okay? So the answer is basically we're talking about tumakala in behema is pachot mikazayit. Okay? Now again, pachot mikazayit can't be tameh tumat ochlin, but with other stuff, it could add up to a kibetza. Okay? So that's the case. Dehai, vahai, have a kibetza, because those two together, right, that with its seruf to something else could come to a kibetza. Okay. So now we dealt with how you could have a machshava here, that would account for our case. But what's the other problem in this Mishnah? Ihachi libay nami hechsher. So why doesn't it need hechsher? Deha, what did we learn about what things need hechsher, what things don't need hechsher? Tani de Rabbi Yishmael, he learned in the following braita from the house of Rabbi Yishmael. Al kol zera zeruah asher yizareya, right? This is the pasuk about hechsher lekabel tum'ah. Mazraim miyuchadim she'ein sofan l'tamei tumah chamura. Zraim will never get to become an avatuma or something, right? A zera can't ever become a higher level of tumah. And since the pasuk about hechsher lekabel tumah is talking about zraim, what do we learn? Right? Therefore, and it's tzarich hechsher. Av kol she'ein sofan l'tamei tumah chamura tzricha hechsher. Which means what? When it comes to nevela, if you have something that's a nevela, so it doesn't need hechsher lekabel tuma. So now they're going to say, but this should need hechsher because it doesn't have a kezayit. In other words, it can't become tuma nevela because it's not a kezayit of meat. So therefore, it should need hechsher. So our Malay, when they say, what does it mean, sofan letamei tuma chamura versus things that ain't sofan letamei tuma chamura? We're talking about hanemile ba'ochlin da alma, de lepa pachot mikezayit nevela. Aval hacha de ika begave pachot mikazayin nevela kevan de ilu mitzarif lekazayin lo bai hechsher. What are they basically saying? That since this is nevela, even though you don't have a kazayin of nevela, it still doesn't need hechsher. Why? Because theoretically, if you added a little more basar nevela to it, the whole thing would be mitzarif to a kazayin for nevela. So theoretically, this is something that's sofol letamei tuma chamura. Anything that could turn into tumat nevela or a more severe tuma doesn't need hechsher. So that's why this doesn't need hechsher. Even if it's less than a kezayit, it still doesn't need hechsher because theoretically you could add to it a little more meat of nevela and it could become tuma chamura, and that's why it doesn't need hechsher, but it doesn't need machshava because it's less than a kezayit. Okay, so again, back to our question, because now we're going to see a second answer. Our question was, just to review, by humans we said it doesn't have tuma kala because it's already tuma made. By behemot, we say it's mitame tuma chamura and also tuma kala. How could that possibly be? It must be in a case where you have less than a kizah. Okay? And then, what about a mate? Oh, before we get to the second answer, so can't you say the same thing about a mate? Let's say there's less than a kizahid of a mate. So they say, la fuke mate, but it's different from a mate. Why? Afa gavdim emalyalate, even if you added to the basar of a mate other food, okay, it still wouldn't work up to a kibetza for tumat ochlin. Lo matami tumat ochlin, why? Mishum debat ladato etzel kol adam. Okay, after having spoken about eating human flesh, now at least they're saying, nobody really eats human flesh, right? People don't do that, okay? And therefore, it's not really considered food. It's not going to be mitzarif with other foods. Okay, second answer. Rav Hanania Amar, afilu tema dehave kezayit. He says, I'll give you a case where you can have tumakala and not tumachamura, even with a kezayit, okay? Hacha b'maya skina, we're getting creative here, kigon shechipau bebatzek. Okay, you have your little piece of nevela. It's a kezayit. But there's dough surrounding it. At this point, remember, nevela is metame b'maga u'b'masa, right? Whereas mate also has be'ohel. Okay, but tuma nevela is metame maga masa. What is maga masa? Touching it. Okay, now, if there's batzek covering it, there's dough surrounding the piece of nevela, nobody can touch it. So nobody's going to get tumat maga here. And that's what they're going to say. There's no tumat chamura of maga, and therefore, it's going to be matami tumat ochnin. Okay? Now, you have to get a little creative here. The batzek has to be less than a kebetza. Because if the batzek was more than a kebetza, as soon as it surrounded that piece of nevela and it touched it, the nevela is an avatuma. It's going to make the dough tummy. So you'd have to say that the nevela, the dough, is less than a kebetza. It's now coming in contact with the nevela, which doesn't do anything, because if you don't have a kebetza, it can't make anything tameh. Without a kebetza, food doesn't become tameh. So now, right, so now they're going to say that's the case they're talking about, okay? So the dough is covering it, and that's why it has tumakala and not tumachamura. Ihachi hechshonamini bai. But then it should also need hechsher. So what do they say? Hanimili be'ochlin achrine de lo mitamu lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Aval hachanihi de lo mitame b'maga de kamachape b'batzek b'masa mihalitame deha taunle. Okay, so what do they say here? So on the one hand, you could say this can't come to tumah chamura because it can't touch anybody. And therefore it should need hechsher. No, it doesn't need hechsher because it still could come to tumah chamura. Why? Because if you carried it, there's tumat maga, I said, and tumat masa. Now, until now, we were really only talking about maga. We were saying since no one could come in contact with this, right, this could have tumat ochlin. But since it could also be tamei tumat masa, what's that? If I lift up this book and on this book is food that's tamei, or, right, that tumat nevela, sorry, not food, tumat nevela, by my moving the book with the tumat on it, even though I'm not touching it, it's mitami. So theoretically, if I picked up that ball of dough that had the nevela inside and I moved that, I wouldn't become tami tuma maga, but I would be tuma masa. So therefore, they say it is something that potentially is tuma chamura, but it also has tuma kala because since there's no maga, therefore it can also be mitami tuma ochlin. Okay, so that's the second answer. So there you have a case where it is a kezayit. Okay, now, lafuke mate. Why is this different from a mate? So remember about a mate, alpha gav de chipau bebatzek, even if you take the flesh of a dead person and you cover it with dough, mitame tuma chamura. It's still mitame tuma chamura. To tuma bokat bola bokat beyoreda. Remember, tuma goes all the way up, right? Especially, you know, if you have a tent over it, right, it'll go up and get into all the tent. So the covering with batzek wouldn't do anything by a mate. So that's a good reason why this is distinguished from a mate. Amar mar. Yatzushratzim, okay, here we have a bit of a different girsa. Yatzushratzim she'em bahem tum'ah. Okay, so shratzim, they don't have tuma chamura. Remember, shratzim only have tuma kala, not tuma chamura. That's another exception to the rule of dam. They say velo, really not? What do you mean they don't have tuma chamura? Hasheretz mitame b'maga. Right? If you touch a sheretz, right, a dead sheretz is mitame, that's tuma chamura. So what do you mean it doesn't have tuma chamura? So what do they say? Ah, b'masa mia lo matame. Okay, it's matame b'maga, but it's not matame b'masa. Okay, so that already puts it, it's not as chamor as the others. Amar mar, yatsa dam dagim v'dam chagavim shekulan heter. My kulo heter. So what does it mean it's kulo heter? Okay, so first of all, the Mishnah says that what's unique about ofen behema, sheyesh behen isur v'heter. What does it mean yesh behen isur v'heter? That they're not kosher until you slaughter them properly. So they have an usher way you can eat them, and they have a heter way you can eat them. So dam chagavim and dam dagim don't have that. So we're going to try to figure out, what does it mean, kulan heter? My kulo heter. Maybe it means you can eat all of it, even the forbidden fats. There are no forbidden fats, right? So, harehu, hare chaya dechalba mutar. Yeah, but we didn't exclude chayot. Chayot are in the prohibition of dam, and their chaylev is mutar. So you can't say that. We need to have something that's unique for dagim and chagavim, fish and grasshoppers, but not for undomesticated animals. Vidama, right, so chalba mutar, vidama asur. Let's try gid hanasher. Okay, there's no gid hanasher. Maybe that's what it means. It has heter, all heter. But of is an exception to the rule, right? Of is, it's dam is asher, and it doesn't have gid hanasher. Ela mai kulo heter de lo bai shchita. Doesn't need to be shechted, as I said earlier. Amar mar, next one. Ma of she'en bo kilayim af behema. Talmud Lamar behemah, right? You might have thought only a behemah that doesn't have kilayim. That's why it says behemah to include all behemot. Kilayim demai, what type of kilayim? So there's three types of kilayim. Ilema kilayim deharba'a, mating two different animals together. U kilayim deharisha, you can't plow your field with two different animals. Vahatnan chayava of chayotze behen. When it comes to kilayim, chayot and ofot are both in this issur of kilayim. Okay, so you can't cross-mate them, and you can't use them both for plowing. I don't know exactly how you're planning to use a bird for plowing, but I guess it means doing any sort of work with two different types of birds together.
Cross-mate a bird. Have you ever heard of that?
Right, I don't know. So anyway, they're saying the Isser is also by Oph, and the whole thing was we were trying to say Oph ein bo kilayim. So it would have to be Elam Rabai, what I already told you, Shet Simro en Chayavim Alam Mishum Kilayim. It's talking about that the Tzemer, right, the feathers on the bird are not Asr Mishum Kilayim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Now we're getting back to the issue I brought up in the beginning, which is, what's the status of all these damim that are permitted? Are they permitted, or are they just not asur karet? Is there malkot, etc.? So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, dam shratzim lo kin alav b'kazayin. The dam of a sheretz, if you eat it, it's not asur karet, but you get malkot if you eat a kazayit of dam. Meitivei. Dam, but now they say, bring a contradiction from the following source. Dam hatchol, dam halev, dam hakleyot, dam evarim, hawe elu belo taaseh. Dam hareshtai, okay, so dam tchol, the spleen, the heart, the kidneys, any internal organs, the blood from them, is asur as a lav. Dam hareshtai, dam shratzim birimasim, asur ve'en chayavin alav. But the dam of humans, the dam of creepy crawlers, are forbidden, but you're not chayav. So it sounds like, if you look at the right, it sounds like the first part is, these are below Tasseh and you get Malkot. And the second category, you don't get Malkot. So it sounds like, and what did Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav? You get Malkot. So how can he contradict this Braita? So what are the answer? My ein chayavin alav karet. Alav mechayev chada. Right, is that how we read it?
Alav
mechayev. You do, you're chayev on the lav. Okay? It's right. It should. It's a little bit of a different gear. So it should say, karet, right? En chayavin alav karet avalav mechayev. That's how it should be read. Okay. So, right. That okay. Well, that sounds good. Except, what's the problem? Well, tahainu resha, right? So they say, right. Okay. So now chada. First problem is tahainu resha. That's the exact same thing as the resha. The resha said it's a lav, and now you're saying this is a lav. Right? So, doesn't make any sense to say that you get malkot on both of them. Ve'od, tana mi lav nami kamen mayele. The tana also, okay, the tana of a brayta we saw before, says there's no lav. How do we know this? Because it says, yatsa dam shratzim she'em bahem tum'a chamura. It says there's no lav. Our mission, the brayta we saw before, said it's out of the category, which sounds like you don't get malkot for it. So Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says it sort of depends on what happened. Hitru bo mishum sheretz. If you're about to eat the blood of a sheretz, and someone says, do you know it's usher to eat shratzim? Loke mishum dam. You get malkot. I'm sorry, loke, period. Mishum dam, if they said, do you know it's usher to eat the blood of shratzim? Now, it's not really true it's usher, because it's not really part of the isser. Then eino loke. So theoretically, there's a case where you could get malkot for eating the blood of a sheretz. It's if someone said, do you know it's usher to eat shratzim? Now, eating shratzim, within that, you could say eating the dam is like eating the sheretz. So if you eat the dam, if someone warned you about sheretz, you would get malkot. But if someone warned you about dam, since the Isser d'oraita does not include this, you wouldn't get malkot. It's a bit of a strange situation. Amar Rav, dam dagim shekinso. Now we get to another thing about dam. If you take dam dagim and you put it in a pile, asur. Now why is it asur? Right? It's asur because it looks like there's no difference. It doesn't look any different, the dam of a fish or in the dam of an animal. So they forbade it. Meitive, but wait, it says in a braita, dam dagim dam chagavi mutar va'afilu lechatchila. It says it's mutar even lechatchila. You can totally eat it, no problem. So what are the answer? Hahib shalo kinso. That's when it wasn't gathered up together, okay? You see some blood dripping out of a fish and you eat it, that's mutar legamre. But if you put it in a pile, then it's forbidden. Ki ka'amarav b'shekinso t'kavate gavei mahalche shtayim b'shelo kinso mi'asr. So now, according to this, they're going to say that you'd have to explain by humans then, okay, if you didn't collect it in a kli, right? So now, it says that it would be asr, but you're not chayav malkot. But now they say mi'asr. V'hatanya, dam sha'al gabei kikar, gororo v'ochlo, shabena shinayim motzitzo bolo v'eino choshesh. According to this interpretation, right, it's mutar if, just one second, let me just clarify. Okay, in order to understand this, the whole braita there taught three things. It taught dam atchol, dam alev, dam akleyot, dam sharei varim is asur v'yesh chiyuv malkot. Then dam adam, dam shratzim, dam rumasim is asur, ve'ein lo kin alav. And dam dagim and dam chagavim is mutar, even lechatchila. So what did we say dam dagim and dam chagavim is mutar, even lechatchila? When it's lo kin so. And what does it say about dam adam? Is asur, but you don't get malchot. So therefore, you'd have to assume the dam adam that we're talking about that's asur is b'shelokin so. Okay? That's a problem because it says in a braita that if you find dam nimtzal gabei kikar, gorero v'ochlo. You can, what do you do? If you, why would you get dam in a kikar? Let's say you're bleeding and it drips onto your bread. So what do? You take off the blood and then you can eat the rest of the kikar. But if it's shalbena shinayim, let's say you're bleeding and in your mouth you're eating at the same time that there's blood in your mouth, right? This happens, you're bleeding, or even just you swallow the blood in your mouth, right? Motzitzo v'bolo v'eino choshesh. And if you have blood in your mouth, you can just suck it up, right? It's fine. You can swallow it. It's not a problem. So now, that's dam shelo kinso, and what do you see? It should be usher, you just don't get malkot, and this sounds like it's mutar legamri. So therefore, what do they say? Ela, ki tanya haimatnita. When it said that, de'ipe kaskasim. It was talking about dam that has kaskasim in it, where it's noticeable that it's dam. In other words, when it talked about dam that's mutar, it was talking about dam that was noticeable. Okay, and that's why you can even eat lechatchila. Ki ka'amar Rav, and we're now saying that what Rav said, kinso, lo kinso, is not the case. He has to reject it because it doesn't make sense according to that braita. So in the end, we say what Rav meant was something else. It's a blood that has kaskasim in it. What did I say? You couldn't identify it. If you can identify it because some of the scales of the fish are inside of it, ki ka'amar Rav de asr de lepe kaskasim. He was talking about it's asr when there are no kaskasim in it. Okay, we'll stop here for today and we'll pick up with this next halacha tomorrow for Sheshach.